Once again, we make the journey. Once again, we have come together to remember those hours when every crescendoing and extravagant human event could take place. Once again, we are in the upper room. It is a great celebration. It is a celebration because the Jews were released from captivity under the Egyptians by the powerful movement of the angel of death, set free from bondage. We are in the upper room again, where there is lamb being fed and wine being drunk and fellowship and food without end. And a great thing is taking place. But two people in that room know how things will go. And only two. We are in the upper room. And now it is time to move to the garden. And the master invites those in the upper room to walk with him to the garden. And they go. And then the master stops at the gate of the garden and he says, "You rest here, those of you who have followed us here. Stay here by the gate and rest. Rest from your wine and from your food and from your fellowship." And then out of that crowd, he calls three. Peter, James, and John. And he walks with them a little bit farther into the garden, where it is darker amongst the olive trees. And then he stops a second time, and he said, "Now you wait here. Keep watch. You wait here." And then he walks a little bit farther into the garden. And he bows his head and he lays his body perhaps on the rocks or the stones that are there. And the agony of his pain at that moment is so great, we are told that he sweat blood. And he came back and he retrieved the apostles, the three that were supposed to be waiting, but failed. They fell asleep. Too much wine, too much lamb, too much fellowship. We all can relate to what that might mean. Too much turkey, and we fall asleep. But Jesus said, "Now the time has come." And then a great chaos breaks out, and there's noise at the gate, and there are soldiers, and there are torches, soldiers from Rome and soldiers from the temple guard, and they have come, and Jesus knows why they have come. They have come for him, and one of their crowd knows why he is there. And he walks up to the master, and he kisses him, betraying him to the evildoers who have come to undo him. And then he is dragged off to the trials, and witnesses lie and cheat about him. And he is charged with sedition, and he is charged with blasphemy. Both of these are crimes of religion and society that will cause him to be killed. But Pilate doesn't want to. And so he is scourged. His flesh is ripped into many times by a cat of nine tails, and his blood spills on the stones of the scourging room. And then he has to carry his own crossbeam to the crucifixion. His clothes, all of his clothes, are removed from him as the nature of crucifixion in the Roman times. And his hands, at least at the wrist level, are nailed to the crossbeam, and then that is lifted up over the top of the standard. And there, suspended in nudity, is the Savior of the world, the Son of God. And in that moment, he has reconciled all of humanity before God. He has paid the price for all of the sins, for all of the evil, for all of the things that have gone wrong in the human condition prior, during, and until now. The Son of God died on the cross for you and me. And then there is the empty tomb. And we come to the empty tomb just now. And we once again peek under the archway of that tomb. And we look in and we say, "The Lord Jesus has risen from the dead. The angel proclaimed it. We know it. We live it now in the 20th century as brothers and sisters in this Lord Jesus Christ who have called us out of the crowds of humanity to live in this moment, in this time. Like Peter, James, and John, we are called to keep our watch. But I think like Peter, James, and John, who had too much wine, too much food, and too much fellowship, there are things about our lives today that sort of lull our spirit into a complacency of fatigue. 147 people are killed in Kenya, university students, and we are told that they are Christians. 21 Christians are beheaded in the process of hatred and anxiety and frustration. And war breaks out between two countries. And there are crashes in the French Alps. And I look at the news, and perhaps you are like me, and all of a sudden my spirit is just kind of lulled into some kind of stupor. What do I do with all of this? What does it all mean to me in my life as a 21st century Christian in this place, in this time? And I have to say, sometimes I just don't know. I just don't know how great the evil can be, how great the hatred can be, how great the confusion can be. I just don't know. And then Jesus says, keep watch. And I go, but Lord, how? How do I keep watch? And he said, your neighbor is alone. Therein I keep my watch. He says, you have a friend who's in the hospital. Go and visit them. Therein I keep my watch. There was a lady sitting next to you in the pew who is sad, and she's overwhelmed with some sadness. You don't know what it is, but you recognize her tears as tears of sorrow, and you scoot over next to her. Therein I keep my watch. There was a little boy who was lost, and no one knows where he is, and yet I come to that experience with prayer, and I pray that somehow in the course of all of this searching for him, he is found and he is well. Therein I keep my watch. I have a friend who is dying, and he needs someone to hold his hand as the process of death overwhelms him, and I am there. And therein I keep my watch. And you know, you are Peter, and you are James, and you are John, and you are Marilyn, and you are Mary, and you are Bob, and we keep our watch. We keep our watch by steadfast faithfulness to the little tiny steps of faith and mercy and love and compassion that we make. Therein we keep our watch. I don't know how to solve those grandiose problems of the world, and in a way I'm grateful that I don't have to. In a way I'm grateful that there are religious leaders perhaps far more knowledgeable than me, and I'm hoping that there are political leaders far more knowledgeable than me who can do what's necessary to keep that great watch. But herein I can keep my watch. I can share the peace and the love of our Lord Jesus Christ in this space where there is brokenness, there is uncertainty. Therein I keep my watch. We have kept our watch tonight. Three have been baptized, called out of the crowds, washed with the water of regeneration, called to be the children of God. Therein we have kept our watch. And it is great. It is a great watch we are keeping. And Jesus said, thank you. Thank you for keeping your watch with me. And now, my brothers and sisters, I'm asking you, I'm calling you out to keep your watch by sharing with those around you and those beyond who are around you, by sharing the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and greet them with the Easter blessing. Please do that now. stand and share the peace of the Lord.